you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold.
We're very excited to be able to announce another number one draft pick, Ryan Shazier, inside linebacker, Ohio State. If you look over Ryan's career, it's, you know, 3 years there at Ohio State, each and every year his production increased. His biggest asset, aside from his youth, is his speed. This guy can flat out run. The thing that really attracts you to him from a defensive standpoint against today's offenses is as the ball continues or as the offenses continue to spread out, you need speed. You need speed at your linebackers. You need speed in the secondary. You need speed everywhere. And this kid has a unique ability to make plays, not only plays at him, but plays laterally. And most of those plays are tackles for losses. And we're super excited that he was there for us. Coach?
Yeah, like Kevin said, we're excited to have Ryan. He's got both youth and experience. He's played a lot of ball in Columbus, Ohio. Obviously, we're always very comfortable looking at Ohio State tape, defensive tape. They asked him to do a lot of things, similar things that we can envision asking him to do. In base, he played inside and sub-package football. He got after the quarterback quite a bit in 13. I think he had 6 sacks. But he's a guy that's capable of being on his feet, making the sideline to sideline tackles that's associated with today's football. And we're excited to have him. Quite frankly, the young man's got no holes. He's a football lover. He's experienced. He's exciting. And he's glad to be here. We're glad to have him.
Questions?
Coach, he's a psychology major. So what have football conversations with him been like?
You know, they've been very, very fluid, actually. You know, he's a football junkie. We've had an opportunity to visit him at several spots along the way. We brought him in here for a day. He had an opportunity to view our facility, spend time with our staff, and talk ball, talk Ohio State football, talk Pittsburgh Steelers football. And he's not uncomfortable in any of those conversations. We're excited about getting started and seeing what he can do for us.
For both of you, the corner's obviously a position of need. How did that factor, if at all, into your
Ryan Shazier was somebody that we valued and valued very highly. So, again, you know, we're well aware of who we have on our team, but when we can add a player of quality, it'll override the need at any time.
Yeah, this is a highly productive guy, 150 tackles or so this past season at Ohio State. He's, 4-4-0 in the 40 or so. This guy's going to make a lot of football plays for us all over the field.
Was it a need? With Lawrence Timmons and Vince Williams did a nice job. Hey, we got hope for Sean Spence to come back, but we can never have enough good players at any one position. And again, this kid's talent is unique. He's going to continue to grow, and his ability to make plays laterally in the backfield as tackles for losses, I think it's really important for today's defenses. And I think it gives Coach LeBeau and Coach Tomlin another option defensively. And you think about the inside rush possibilities now with him and Lawrence and Troy and whoever else we add to the mix. It'll be exciting.
Is this guy going to get in line?
No, we're gonna look at playing a bit Mac and maybe moving some guys around, but that's to be determined. What we needed is a defensive playmaker, and he fits the bill in that regard. Not only in terms of his skill set, but in terms of what he did there on the field. Highly productive football player, over 100 tackles the last 2 years, I think 150 last year. He gets after the quarterback. He's rushed the passer. He's made plays in coverage as well. That's what he is. He's a defensive playmaker. And bigger than anything, bigger than positional needs, what we needed was a defensive playmaker.
Kevin and Mike, both of you, you talked about on a couple occasions already about the lateral ability to make plays. is that what you thought you were getting initially when you drafted Sean a couple of years ago? And is Ryan a surer bet because he's coming in healthy off of last season as opposed to Sean is still a little bit of a wild card playing?
Yeah, I mean, Sean had some of the similar talents. You know, he ran in the 4.5s. And so far, you know, in the coaching sessions that he's been able to take part in, he looks great. He looks healthy. And we hope to have him in the mix. And as we said, we can't have enough good players at any one position. But again, just to go back with Ryan, when you watch him, I mean, he's an easy evaluation. Just that burst, it's unique. And he's going to grow. He has to get stronger. He's going to have to get bigger. There's some big guys that will get on him on occasion. But usually he figures it out after the first time, and then he'll go make another play. So it was just, you know, you have to put the blinders on to the need word. And in this case, as Coach said, you need defensive playmakers. He's a defensive playmaker. You need offensive playmakers. Maybe we'll get some of those as we go through. But yep. Certainly happy to have this guy in our mix.
Mike, only four other guys have won Ohio State tackles 2 years in a row. They're all big, Laurinaitis, Pepper Johnson types, big middle backer types. Is that the beauty of this guy, that people do what they did and run?
I think he just represents what's going on in football today. College football, with the ability to spread people out, you need people that can play in vertical and horizontal space. He's shown the ability to do that. It's leaked over into the professional game. Just the other day we're in here, we were talking about the expansion of sub-package football and what that means to defenses going forward. And this is a guy that really excels under those circumstances, to be quite honest with you.
Coach, you've often spoken of players with high motors. Can you talk about his motor and determination on the field?
You know, I think, you know, his production speaks for itself. You don't make 150 tackles without running to the ball. His tape says that. He doesn't need my endorsement. He plays with a great deal of urgency. And not only in 13, but in 12 and 11. We've looked at a lot of Ohio State tape over the course of his career there. He was a significant contributor from the day he stepped on campus and really improved during the course of his stay there.
What do you guys have on him at the 40?
4.40. He ran 4.40. He ran one time. He pulled a hamstring, which was the reason he didn't run at the combine, because his hamstring was a little tight. He did run it on their pro day. He was unable to do any drills, but we were real comfortable that the athleticism's not a problem, so we really didn't need to see further drill work with him.
And when you start talking about guys at the linebacker position running sub 4.5, I mean, that's rare air.
Hey, you're 4.40.
4.40.
Sub 4.5 is rare air.
Anyone else?
All right. All right, guys, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold.
Hello, how you doing?
Ryan, how are you?
Good, good.
Good, we got the media here. They're all gathering around. They're going to ask you some questions. We'll open it up.
Ryan, congratulations. Did you see the Steelers picking you?
At first, actually, I did not see that coming. I'm actually really excited about it. I did not see it coming at all.
Why do you say that, Ryan?
I knew that they liked me a lot when I visited with them, but I know we had a great visit, but I'm happy that I'm here.
Ryan, what do you know about the Steelers defense and Dick LeBeau?
I know that Jerry is starting for the defense, and that's what Pittsburgh is known for. Coach LeBeau is a great coach. He's been there for a while, and I know he has a little blood in him. So we just got to get rolling and get back to the old ways.
He's a Buckeye, so he was probably pulling for you, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
From what you know, are the schemes similar, what you guys ran at college compared to what's going on with the Steelers?
I really didn't get to watch it that much. I mean, really get to see their scheme that much. But from what Coach Fickle tells me, their scheme is somewhat similar.
Ryan, do you have to get bigger to play inside here?
I don't feel like I have to get bigger. I talked to some of the coaches, and they said that my weight is perfectly fine, so I don't really feel like I have to get any bigger. I feel like I'm a great weight for right now.
So how fast actually have you been timed in a 40?
The fastest time I've ever been is 4.35, and then I really feel like I can still even run faster than that, if I'm 100%.
Ryan, what did you run at your pro day?
A 4.36.
Ryan, you said you didn't see this coming, but can you give us an idea of your reaction and what this means to start a new career here?
Oh, my reaction, I was just shocked. I seen the number, I seen the area code. I immediately knew what team it was. Since I'm from Ohio, I mean, not from Ohio, but since I played at Ohio State, I know the Pittsburgh area code pretty well. And just being over there, just hearing my name called and talking to Coach Tomlin and everything was just amazing feeling. And I feel like it's going to be great that I'm in Pittsburgh.
Good evening and welcome to the post first round version of The Standard is the Standard. I'm Neil Coulong, the managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. I am with Steel Curtain radio host Lance Williams. We are basking in the aftermath of the Steelers' 2014 first round pick, Ryan Shazier, linebacker out of, I hate to say it, but the Ohio State University. Controversial pick, Lance. You got two schools of thought here. One, it seems there's a misperception going on that they're planning to play Shazier as an outside linebacker. He would be an outside linebacker, a weak side linebacker in a 4-3 defense. He's not going to play on the outside as a rush linebacker in the Steelers defense. He's going to play on the inside. On the other hand, a lot of people say there are issues with him not being big enough, not being strong enough, not being able to fight off blocks. It's hilarious to me because I spent the entire last two off seasons talking about how desperately this team needs to improve its team speed, its overall athleticism. They got easily the best athlete on the board at the 15th pick. What was your initial thought with it?
My thought was, you know, sort of what we talked about yesterday when I think you eloquently put it about just how desperate they were for an inside linebacker, an athlete to play alongside Timmons, given the fact that they have Garvin and Vince Williams inside, that was a dire need for this defense, along with defensive end and cornerback. The question that I was asked online on Twitter, and I'm going to pose the question to you, is the value. What's the value of an inside linebacker at the 15th pick in the first round, given the fact that teams largely play nickel? You know, is this a guy that you think is a three-down player? And just touch upon that question about the value of an inside linebacker as high as 15 in the first round.
I think we really have to look at the way these players are being used today. What's the main issue with the Steelers' run defense last year, or I should say just overall in defense. My opinion, and I'm not saying this to knock him or anything like that, but my opinion was Vince Williams was such a limited player, they weren't able to do all that much. And people want to argue about his heart and say this and that about how we shouldn't judge him and all that. I get it. That's not what's in question here. The main issue is the fact that he could only play on two downs, and teams threw on those downs when he was on the field. He was exploited constantly to the point where they had to move their 32-year-old safety down to play inside linebacker. That's how desperate they were at that position. You want to talk about value? Watch last year's team. Watch that defense last year and tell me they didn't need somebody at that position. We can talk about Sean Spence all day. Sean Spence is a great story. I'm sure the second he runs out on the field is going to be a great emotional moment. I'm looking forward to cheering for him. I really am. He hasn't played. We don't know what he can do on the field. We don't know what level of speed he's at. What we know is when he was drafted, he's not as fast as Ryan Shazier is. He's not the athlete Ryan Shazier is. There's a reason why if he wasn't going to be the 15th pick, he was going to be the 16th. Gary Dulac of the Post-Gazette tweeted not long after the pick that Shazier's agent was on the phone with the Cowboys. They didn't even get a chance to really call him to let him know. They jumped on him right away. That's how much they wanted him at that spot. And it's because of that athleticism. Teams throw the ball a lot more often now. It's not a question of whether he can defend the run nearly as much as what he can do in coverage. He can flow sideline to sideline from wherever he is, and it gives the team a dire need of athleticism, something they flat out did not have at their linebacker position last year. So I don't, in my mind, it doesn't make a difference if that was a 15th pick, the 20th pick, the 25th pick. You're splitting hairs. What it comes down to is they got a tremendous infusion of athleticism exactly where they needed it.
How do you think they'll utilize him in a nickel?
I think he saves the team's nickel package. If you watch it last year, in fact, I was talking to our guy, our Behind the Steel Curtains film breakdown guru, Paper Champion, as he calls himself. One of the packages he's going to put together here in the next probably day or so is the improvement and what exactly he will bring to the nickel package. And we're going to highlight the game against Miami last year. They absolutely shredded the Steelers on the ground against their nickel. And a large part of that problem is they didn't have that athletic presence on the field. Now, you don't need to worry about Steve McClendon coming off the field because you're still going to have a guy that can pursue and tackle. But even then, you still have bulk if you want to go in a big nickel package with the two linebackers there. Drop an outside linebacker down onto the line and rush Cameron Hayward from the inside. You have two linebackers that can still defend the run if they happen to do that, but can excel in coverage as well. The nickel package got a lot better with him. And then, frankly, that's where he's going to play. If he doesn't start, first off, I'd be surprised if he wasn't a starter. But he's going to make his impact in sub packages, and that's exactly what they really needed. There is a need for a cornerback, but not as much as there is for an inside linebacker right now. And I think those nickel packages got a lot better, and it's going to improve. And we're probably going to start to hear a lot of talk about the possibility of him playing safety or something like that. It's positions are morphing into themselves nowadays. They're hybrids. And that safety corner position, a linebacker safety position, kind of like what Garvin did last year, you're going to see Shazier do a lot of those kinds of things. Different spots, different depths, has the athleticism to do it all. And really, this is an exciting pick. It's a smart pick, and I think he's going to do well.
For you salary cap eggheads like myself, it's being reported that he's going to get a four-year deal, and it's going to be roughly around $9.5 million with about a $1.7 million cap hit. It's estimated that his signing bonus would be roughly about $5.2 million. So that's a little bit of salary cap numbers for you eggheads out there, as it will fit into the Steelers cap very easily with Woodley's number coming off the cap in June. So again, one thing I take away from this, and the funny thing about watching Steeler fans react to picks on Twitter, is there is just generally a lack of patience overall with the draft and with the development of players. And, you know, people are just killing the pick already as soon as the pick is being made. You know, a lot of suggestions about Denard. Why don't they take Denard? And it was funny because Denard was taken, I think, what, about 10 selections later. So, you know, I just say to Steeler fans out there, let the guy take some snaps first. Watch him in preseason. Watch how they're going to use him in that defense. And then start to assess the quality of the pick. And then a lot of guys also were just trying to make theoretical arguments around value and usage of inside linebackers without talking about the player. And you can't talk about value and impact and all that other stuff if you don't include the player in the analysis. So I always try to take a patient approach, because if the guy can play, it's a great pick, and no one will care whether he was 15, 16, 22, 25, like you suggested.
Better player now than Lawrence Timmons was when they drafted him. He has more experience. He's a leader, which Timmons never really has been. He's a smart football player. And their biggest black hole last season was the inside linebacker position opposite Lawrence Timmons. I don't know. If people don't want to accept that, that's fine. Because we also will get into, I hate Ohio State. They're not my team. I don't root for them. I hate all things Buckeyes. I don't want their players. I don't listen to that crap at all. I don't like college football for a lot of the same reasons. But evaluating players obviously makes you look at the college level. What I saw when I broke this guy down, honestly, this was probably my favorite review of the 40-some that I did this past year. He's just incredibly athletic. He's a lot of fun to watch. You see his speed. You see how much ground he covers. And he's up 12 pounds from where he was in college, and he ran a 4.37 40 or whatever it was at his pro day. Granted, he probably got a fast hometown track there, but still, 237 pounds running at that speed. If he put on weight and he was still that fast, you're talking about a real high level guy. If he can't, take on a guard with a four step head start catching him in the second level, I don't know how much I can hold that against him. I don't know how many linebackers are able to do that anyway, but the reality is, I mean, it wasn't even all that long ago. We remember Ray Lewis's final season in Baltimore. He said he shed weight to get faster just because of the linebacker position involves so much more coverage now than it used to. You don't have these 250-pound, banging buck linebackers taking on fullbacks.
Yeah, these junior sayout guys. The days of the junior sayout guy is gone. And I don't want to sound like a homer where I'm just agreeing with the pick, but I see the value in the pick. And when you look at this defense, listeners, I implore you, go back and look at the games. Go get the NFL Rewind or the NFL package on NFL.com. Spend about $30. Go look at the game film. Go look at the issues of awareness that Vince Williams had, his inability to play the position, and you will see that they struggled mightily at that position. And also, we were talking about yesterday about, putting Beckham on the field, with Antonio Brown, with Wheat, and the other wide receivers. How about that creates a devastating package and how teams have to defend against that? Well, think of the athleticism on the other side of the ball that the Steelers can put on the field up the middle. Mitchell's a fantastic athlete. Polamalu's still a very good athlete. Shazier and Timmons. That's a lot of athleticism in the middle of your defense, and that can only help that unit.
I really can't agree with that anymore. This is what happened. I was at my buddy's place. I got my laptop. I'm all set. When the Bears took Fuller, I immediately started writing the story that the Steelers selected Darquez Denard. I'll admit that. And typically it's not something I like to admit, just because literally every single time I start writing something like that, what it is I'm writing about won't happen. That's just a guaranteed thing. My editor, Joel Thorman, he's one of the editors of SB Nation's Kansas City Chiefs site, Arrowhead Pride. He IM'd me a link back to my review on Shazier. And I was like, wait a minute, what? He's like, you might need this for your pick. I'm like, oh my God, are you serious? I was just gushing about him after I reviewed it, to the point I was like, okay, I'm out of practice with this. I haven't done this in a while. I don't want to sound, every player is the greatest thing, you know, that we've seen all year. I reviewed a couple linebackers, a lot of defensive players. I don't know if I really saw one outside of Khalil Mack who stood out the way Shazier did. I mean, his explosiveness, his athleticism, it pops out on tape. And I you can totally see Mike Tomlin in particular why he's going to really like a player like this. So, and people can hate it, that's fine, but that's obviously how we feel about it. Certainly weigh in on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. We're going to have plenty more of this as the second round will come out on Friday. And Lance, I don't know how much time you've really spent digging into the second round options. We're gathering that now as we speak. It's going to be a long night here at Behind the Steel Curtain headquarters, but what are your thoughts? What have you seen of anybody who's left?
The one thing I said, and I'm not going to get into particular players, but just to speak to some of the things that I was getting from Steeler Fan online about the cornerback position being a position of need and defensive end. And the one thing I wanted to say was merely that, you know, we have another six rounds. You know, I'm sure they're going to come back and address that need at the cornerback position, wide receiver, and defensive end. It's a long process. We got tomorrow, we got Saturday, and I'm sure that the Steelers, and you can kind of look at what they've done in the offseason. I think they've shown a very good awareness of what their needs are and what they need to do in terms of plugging those needs. And I suspect that the Steelers are going to go ahead and get those cornerbacks and the defensive end and some of those other players that they need on this defense and that wide receiver that they need on the offensive side of the ball. So stay tuned, fans. It's going to be exciting and a wild ride.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with that, we're going to call it a night here. There's still plenty left to go over. We've got some more film breakdown that we're going to put out tomorrow. Be around. It's going to be a very active day. The Friday of the new draft, the three-day version of the draft, is always quite an exciting one on Behind the Steel Curtain. So please stick around. Let us know what you're thinking, what you're feeling. We'll break down him and then the second-round pick, which – interestingly enough, turns into one of the more intriguing picks I think that the team will be making in quite a while. I'm going to write about that and a lot more tomorrow. I'm Neil Coulong, the managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. He's Lance Williams, the host of Steel Curtain Radio. You've been listening to The Standard is the Standard special first round draft edition. Good night. We'll see you tomorrow.
You can tell everybody, yeah, you can tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, yes I am, yes I am, yes I am, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, I believe every lie that I ever told, paid for every heart that I ever stole, I played my cards and I didn't